find hope, get help, and discover peace. I'm Larry Wood, your host, and we're glad to have you with us today. You know, one of the things we most often take for granted is what? A clear, cool, cold drink of water. It's as free as water, isn't it? And it's everywhere. And in some cases in the upstate of South Carolina, we've been having more of that than we've really wanted, while some places in the country have been having less. But the fact is, it's an abundant supply, and we take it for granted every day. But the fact of the matter is, much of the world is either does not have access to clean water, and when they do, it's often hard to get and limited quality. So that's what we want to talk about a little bit today, but that's just the intro, because our guest today is Roland Bergeron, who's the CEO, director, founder of Water of Life. And that's a ministry dedicated to giving clean water to people in the third world. So Roland, welcome to Peace Talk. Let's talk just a little bit about Water of Life, okay? When did you get involved in Water of Life?
I got involved in Water of Life in 2001 when a pastor came to our church and talked about missions, and particularly about how water ministry can be used for missions. Before that, I wasn't at all interested in missions. As a matter of fact, not long before that, I became a Christian. So the story really starts in 2000 when I became a Christian, 2001 when I heard about water ministry, and then in 2002 when I went on my first mission trip to Honduras and drilled my first well.
Well, that's remarkable, because you just told me you're 63 years old and you were what, 50 when you became a believer?
That's correct.
And so at the age of 50, you become a believer. By the age of 51, you're interested in missions. And by the age of 52, you're out there drilling wells. How did you think you were being a little uppity to be that young a believer and actually out doing stuff like that?
I guess I just didn't know any better. I mean, when I became a believer, I think I started reading the Bible and I started taking it seriously. And maybe because I didn't know the Christianity or the church before that, maybe it was an advantage. But it seems to me, it just seemed a logical progression of accepting Christ to lead to service.
And I suppose as we continue our conversation here, we begin to talk about faith, that's actually one of the first things we'd want to talk about. You didn't feel like you needed anything but to know the Lord, right? To know Jesus and to have a cause to actually give yourself to.
Yeah. People sometimes think that, you know, that to become a Christian, you have to have a list of rules that you got to keep, or there's something that has to be done to earn the love of God. I recognize that it's a free gift. You know, it's the grace of God. It's what Jesus did for me that provided the salvation. My call to service, it wasn't like a flashbulb going off one day, but my call to service really was a result of that acceptance of salvation and the feeling that I wanted to do this as a payment. Payment's probably not the word, but gratitude for what God did for me.
And so you saw it, I take it as when Jesus talked about water of life flowing out of him in abundance into us and giving us an abundant life, it was going to flow out of you then to others.
Right. And I didn't sit down and look at all the different ministries and pick out Water of Life. It really came from a pastor that came to our church and talked about it. And it really was the whisper of the Holy Spirit who basically told me I can go do that. And I followed up on it and went and got trained and learned more about it and went on my first mission trip and really discovered that the need for water is really, really great out there in the world. Right now, the estimate is someplace between 750 million and a billion people don't have clean water. I don't think the actual number really makes a difference. It's just a lot of people out there that don't have clean water. And it coincidentally, the people that don't have clean water are also the people that have never heard the name of Jesus. So I learned that there were people without water, and I found that I was pretty good at providing clean water, and it just seemed to be what God asked me to do.
Well, let's talk about that for just a second. It's kind of like a little parenthesis right now. Why is it important that people have clean water?
You can live about 3 days without water. So you have to have water to continue living. And if you don't have clean water, you will drink the water, whatever water is available. And if it's full of disease and pathogens and toxins, you'll drink it, and it'll make you sick. And you may survive, but you may not survive. The ones that are affected most by the dirty water, of course, are the ones that are the weakest, and that tends to be the old people and the babies, and in particular the babies. One of the things that we find that when we go into the communities and drill clean well, that immediately the health of the community will improve, and I get to go back and visit some of these places, and the women come up to me and tell me our babies aren't dying anymore.
And I think, as you know, if we have, I'm sure we have mothers and fathers listening to the program, if you can process that in terms of your own children, what it's like to bury children that die from waterborne diseases that, in fact, are quite preventable, aren't they? We're not talking about the serious diseases of life like cancer and heart attack and all that. We're just talking about normal germ-bred, virus-bred diseases that clean water would solve.
Most children who die from bad water die of something very simple, diarrhea. They get some sort of pathogen in the water. It affects their digestive system. They get diarrhea. There isn't any way to rehydrate them because the water you're giving them is dangerous as the water that gave them diarrhea. They don't have access to medical care, so they simply dehydrate and die.
So you've found out, in fact, the whole world understands that clean water makes a huge difference. It makes a huge difference in whatever place it becomes available.
Oh, it does. I mean, when we go and we drill a well where the community has been drinking water and has had bad water, they can tell immediately. I mean, they can tell immediately that their sicknesses, the diarrhea, the thing that saps the lifeblood out of the community goes away very, very quickly. So they know that clean water is necessary.
Well, you know, after a meeting that we held earlier today with you, one of the guys mentioned to me, he said, you know, in many places, kids are not in school because they spend a lot of their time helping mom just lug water.
But in most of the places, the getting the water is the women and children's job. We've drilled wells where the people have been walking 7 miles to get water. And you can imagine if you had to haul all the water for your family, you had to walk 7 miles each way, how much time that would take out of your day.
So not only disease and health issues, but social issues of all sort are affected by clean water, aren't they?
Oh, it's foundational for a community. If you don't have clean water, you can have all the food in the world, but the people are still going to get sick and die.
And how many people over the year, because of your commitment to Water of Life, how many people have been affected by clean water? And of those, how many people have come to know Christ because you have gone and taken them clean water?
Last year we did over 100 wells, and we had a couple hundred thousand people that have gotten clean water that didn't have clean water before. And we've shared the gospel with several hundred thousand people, and we've had tens of thousands of people that have come to know Christ because of the work we do.
Somehow or another, they just cannot avoid the fact that when somebody comes and brings them something as important as water for their body, then when they start talking about water for life, that makes a difference.
Well, I call it, we earn the right to be heard. When we go to a community and we do something for them, they can see that love. They can see that unselfish love. And when people see that, they notice. I mean, all around the world, they can see when someone cares for them, truly cares for them. And so, you know, you listen to the people who care for you. So we earn the right to be heard, and we give them a simple physical demonstration of God's unselfish love. We provide them a water well. We don't ask anything from them. We strategically partner with people in each one of these countries who go with us. It's the indigenous pastors, the indigenous Christians who go with us to share the gospel. In Liberia, there are 16 languages. I barely know English. There's no way I can learn 16 languages, so we have to have the local people do it. So we take them with us, and they share the gospel. They're also committed to going to these communities, planting churches, and discipling people so that there's something after the conversion that people can rely on.
So I'm taking all of the time to talk about Water of Life. That's not really going to be our focus of the program today, but to say, here's a guy who gets saved, in a sense, late in life. 1 year after he gets saved, he gets a call, a passion for drilling wells. 1 year after that, he's drilling his first well, and now 13 years later, hundreds of thousands of people have come to know Christ, and it's all because of your trusting God, right, and going out and just simply obeying Him.
Yes. If this was just about providing people water, I wouldn't do it. I mean, that's not the driving force. The driving force to me is to be obedient to what God has asked me to do. And, you know, if you want to know what God is asking you to do, I think you can read the Bible, and it's really pretty simple. There's when Jesus was asked what the two commandments were, it was love God, love people. So it's really simple. If in anything you're doing, in any calling, that has to be part of it. Love God, love people. And then the other was the Great Commission, where Jesus at the end of his life, his last instructions to the disciples was, in shorthand version, tell everybody about me.
Before we, you know, we're coming up to the break, and we really don't have time for another question, but what I'd like you to do is tell our audience, if they're captivated by what you're talking about in terms of Water of Life, that there might be something here for them, that their heart is resonating with what you're doing, how could they get in touch with Water of Life?
Probably the easiest way is to go onto our website. Website address is www.givefreshwater.org. You go on the website, it tells about our ministry, tells about our accomplishments, gives you plenty of contact information to get a hold of us and pursue it.
And you have opportunities for people to serve with you.
I do lead trips overseas. We typically lead 4 to 6 trips overseas so people can go overseas and actually participate in the work. One of the easiest ways to help is to pray for us and to pray for our partners and the work that we're doing. And then, like any ministry, we need donations. So there's a number of ways you can help.
Our guest today is Roland Bergeron, the founder and now CEO of Water of Life. When we come back, Roland, what I want to do is I want to go back to something you said earlier. And you said, I heard the Holy Spirit. Now, that's a lot of a controversial subject sometime, and I want to, when we come back, I want to ask you that question. How do you know it was the Holy Spirit that was telling you to go drill wells in some far, far away places in the world, so much so that you were willing to give your life to go and obey and do it? So we'll pick up with that question when we come back. This is Peace Talk, your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace.
Substance abuse, inappropriate relationships, cutting, social media. Do these issues sound familiar? How about the biggest one of all, America's teens' declining interest in the things of God? These are just some of the challenges that parents and teens are struggling with in today's culture. Licensed to Parent with Trace Embry is a biblically based half-hour weekly radio program equipping you with insight for today's culture from a biblical worldview.
Monday mornings at 11 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9.
What does it take to live an uncommon life? Here's Super Bowl winning coach Tony Dungy with today's Uncommon Life Challenge.
A family from Indianapolis recently lost their daughter, Tessa, a student at the University of Tampa, in a car accident. When Tessa's father spoke at the memorial service, he noted that while he and his family were grieving, they took solace in knowing that they would see Tessa again. And then he said, "But for those of you who don't believe in Jesus, you've seen Tessa for the last time." Then he urged each person there to enter into a relationship with Christ. Jesus is the one and only way to an everlasting life with God. Have you shared, taught, and ingrained that within your family so that each one of them is a child of the living Lord?
Tony Dungy, author of the 1 Year Uncommon Life Daily Challenge. Read a sample chapter of the new book at uncommonchallenge.com.
Before we rejoin today's program, let me say thank you for listening to Peace Talk. Each program comes with the prayer that you will find the peace that Jesus desires for you to enjoy today. But I'd like to take a minute to tell you about the website, peacetalk.com. Go to peacetalk.com and you'll discover that Peace Talk is more than teaching and great stories. We offer opportunities for bringing Peace Talk to you and your church. If you're caught in relationship-destroying conflict, at peacetalk.com you can access relationship-restoring services. You will also find seminar retreat opportunities for your group. And at peacetalk.com you can read the blog and sign up for our free email newsletter, Peace Mail. Follow us on Peace Talk and Twitter. And please, don't overlook the donate button, because Peace Talk needs your help. Peace Talk is all about you finding peace. Let's rejoin our program, and remember, Peace Talk is your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace. This is Peace Talk, your place to find hope, get help, and discover peace. I'm Larry Woods, your host. Glad to have you back. If you stuck with us through the break, glad to have you. If you're just joining us, well, we're glad to have you too. Sorry you missed the first half. The program will be put up on the website, www.peacetalk.com, just after the program airs. So if you missed the first half, you can catch it. And I think you'd really want to. Our guest today is Roland Bergeron, a man who was saved late in life, and 1 year after being saved, finds a call, a passion in missions. And 1 year after that, he's in a faraway place drilling wells. And for the last 13 years, has been sharing the gospel with clean water with people in several places around the world with tremendous results, tremendous impact. Roland, let's pick up your story now. Let's move away from the water of life part of it. And let's talk about you personally, because there are people listening that we want to impact about their own service, about what they're doing. Many of them are sitting there saying, I wished I had something I could give myself to. I wish I was involved. Maybe even guiltily thinking I need to be involved, or there's something about it. Let's go back to something you said in the first half of the program. One day you said you heard the Holy Spirit speak to you. Tell us, what did it sound like when the Holy Spirit spoke to you?
I don't hear an audible voice. What I heard is, and what I felt, and I knew it was something outside of myself, is I felt the impulse or the push to go and do water ministry. So I call it a soft whisper. It was something that said, you could do that. And I knew that wasn't me. I knew it was something outside of me that was telling me to do that.
Well, at that time, you were a builder. You had a building business. You built custom homes here in the upstate of South Carolina. You had to give that up, didn't you? Or eventually, you, as God called and drew you in, that had to go.
If you look scripturally, you look at the story of God calling different individuals in the Bible, and oftentimes the call was to do something, to take a step. I don't see many stories where God said that just came to somebody and said, this is, laid out the whole plan and says, this is where it's going to end up. Well, usually what he does is he just says the first step. So at the beginning, it was just the first step. Take the first step. Go and find out about water and go and drill some water wells. As time goes on, God uses that, and I think he gives us a continuing urging, and he gives something in return for being obedient. He gives us peace and joy. That's the thing that God gives back to us for being obedient. So it wasn't all at once that I just decided to leave my business and go pursue water. It was a step-by-step thing.
Did you consider that first time, which, I mean, is in a sense, is like a small thing. It's just a missions trip. I'm going to go drill a well. Did you look at that as a big step of faith?
I did. I mean, I don't know that I looked at it as a big step of faith, and this may even I looked at it as something that God asked me to do, so I'm going to go do it. And I really kind of almost made a bargain with God at the beginning and says, okay, I'll go do a little bit of this. and God, I'm seeking you and I'm seeking the blessings. And there was even a negotiation with God, I think, at the time of, God, I'll go do this and I'll take a portion of my time and I'll go do this. And, I expect the blessings from it. So it wasn't a huge leap of faith. It was a small leap of faith. The good thing I find out about faith is once you start practicing it, it becomes easier and easier. It's like any skill set. It's like anything you do as you practice it. So I don't, in my case, God didn't say that I want you to, leave your business and go spend months in a year going around the world drilling water wells. He just said, go and drill water wells. And I took that step.
And it appears from what you're telling me that God didn't mind entering into a little bit of dialogue with you about, okay, it's a small thing. You do it. You'll get some blessing for it.
No, God's a personal God. He's got a sense of humor. I'm fairly convinced that he has a sense of humor. And I do really think if he laid out most of these things to us all at once, most of us would, and I probably would have run screaming and said, there's no way I could possibly do that, and I really don't want to do that. So he understood that he was leading me down a path, and he doesn't mind us having an open, honest discussion. An open, honest discussion with God is one of the best things you can do. He knows everything about you anyway, so the things that you don't want to discuss with him, you're fooling yourself. He knows them anyway, so you might as well just have that open, honest discussion.
Talk about your fears.
Talk about your fears. Make, try to make a bargain with God. I think he's big enough to be able to. You're not going to make a bargain with God, but you may think that you are making a bargain with God. And he's just slowly bringing you along that track of deeper and deeper faith and deeper revelation of what his plan for you is.
In fact, when you look at the Bible, you find that that's really the story of the Bible, isn't it? God doesn't reveal himself all at once. We don't find out everything we need to know about God in the first chapter of Genesis.
No.
He took page after page, story after story after story, revealing different things about his character. And you found that to be more or less true in your life, that he starts with one call, one step.
Yeah. Like I said, the flashbulb didn't go off one day, and my faith wasn't perfected. In fact, my faith's still not perfected. It's a challenge every day to remain faithful to God's calling and kind of put my plans and my view of the world into perspective and look for God's plan and God's calling. If you look at all the famous people of the Bible, they all went through a process. I mean, they just didn't all of a sudden one day snap their fingers and all of a sudden be these great people. They were all on a faith journey. And that's what I think what God calls us to do. He calls us to take that next step.
I'm sitting here reading a book. I've got a copy here in the studio called Faith's Reward by Pastor Dan Epley. And he made a rather interesting comment early in the book. He said the sensual mind, the physical mind, the mind that's related to this world, is always at war with the faith mind. What do you think about that statement?
I think it's true. The world, the physical world, wants to keep you away from the spiritual world. So making a step in faith means you have to put aside all those worldly things. It means you have to go do something not knowing the results, and also oftentimes knowing that the results aren't going to benefit you in any way, shape, or form. So it's absolutely true.
When you start into this plan, and you were talking the other day about you were sitting down, you were being a good CEO. And so somebody said to you, well, you need a 5-year plan. You need to sit down and write it. And you started to write your 5-year plan. What happened to it?
For about 6 months, we struggled to try to write a 5-year plan. Never could make any progress. And finally, one day, it just dawned on me. What had got us to that point at the beginning of our ministry was just listening for God's direction. And then once you get God's direction, to go do some of that. So we decided to adopt that as our strategic plan. just listen for God's direction. And when we hear God's direction, just go do that.
I mean, it's fascinating. At the age of 50, if you'd have sat down and had written a five-year plan for Roland Bergeron, it would not have included getting saved. It would not have included drilling wells. It would not have included anything that's led you to where you are today.
Even when we started the water ministry, if we would have sat down at the beginning and said that we would be in two West African countries in India and drilling, you know, 50, 60 wells a year in India, we never would have written that plan. You know, we just wouldn't have written that plan. So, but we are where we are because we have been listening and responding to God's direction and call.
We're getting down to the last few minutes of the program, Roland. Talk directly to the people, our audience, the folks that are listening. If they're sitting there struggling over a faith issue or a sense that God is doing some work in their life, what would you say to them?
I would tell people to earnestly seek God's plan for you. I believe that if you earnestly seek God's plan, He will reveal it to you. He's not going to give you the five-year plan, but He's going to give you the next step. Once He gives you that next step, and I believe you'll know what that next step is, step out in faith and take the step. Faith is taking the step, not knowing the results. If you know the results, that's not faith.
I have a feeling that what you're saying here is a lot of people will start on a plan like that, and they'll start with some sort of dedication. God, I give you everything. You can have it all. You can take it all and things like that. Would that kind of be perhaps a wrong direction? Just say, God, you can have whatever you want. I'll give it to you when you ask for it. But right now, just lead me.
Exactly. I think you said, God, show me the next step and then take the next step. And then after that, He'll show you the next step and then take the next step. And that is the path of faith.
And that's hearing God. And so when you begin a day, how do you start your day in if you want to hear God?
I start my day when I wake up in the morning. The first thing I do is I say, good morning, Jesus. What have you got for me today?
Well, that's not much of a plan for a CEO. I bet you won't find that at Harvard Business School, but it's working for Water of Life, and it's changed a lot of people's lives, hasn't it?
It has.
Well, Roland, thank you for being a part of it. If somebody's interested in Water of Life, again, tell us how they can get in touch with you.
The best way to get in touch with us on our website, www.givefreshwater.org.
Our guest today has been Roland Bergeron. He's told you the story of how late in life he comes to know Christ, and then God calls him into ministry, and what God has done. And it all revolves around, as he's told the story, a step-by-step listening for God, trusting Him and just taking the next step that God reveals. And that's what he would encourage you today. If you're wondering about what God has for you, just tell Him, ask Him to tell you, listen carefully, and then when He shows you a step, just go ahead and take the one step that He shows. God is faithful and God is trustworthy. He can take you exactly where He wants you to go. Thank you for being a part of Peace Talk today. It's always our pleasure to be with you because Peace Talk is the place where you find hope, get help, and discover peace.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.